bottom of them.
Oh, yeah.
I got 3 pair. I wear them all the time. Saturday.
I like my red wings.
Red wings.
I got a pair of red wings that I wear when I'm in the woods. I used to wear red wings all the time. $80, that's too much stuff.
Okay, now that we've talked about getting the land prepared and we got the seeds in the ground and 30 years have passed in the span of 15 minutes, we're going to talk about now what do you do with all these trees that you've got planted here. One of the things you got to do is once you decide what you're going to do with trees, then you have somebody come estimate how much of those, how many of those trees are actually usable. And the name of that activity is cruising, and we have 3 people here who are dedicated to the skill and art of doing just that. We've got Arthur Bailey from Bluntstown, Tom Maston from Gainesville, and Don Lewis from Lake City. And what I'm going to do is, going to ask Mr. Maston to just tell us a little bit about what is cruising. I just said it, but I bet you I got it wrong.
No, you didn't. Cruising is basically the measurement of standing forest products, and by that I mean determining what the quantity and quality of trees on a given tract of land, and that relates to how much money you can sell them for, which is the name of the game for most of us.
Yeah. Okay. What do you do? I'm going to ask Arthur to start talking. Just tell us a little bit about what do you do when you get out there.
You measure your diameter of the tree, the height.
Okay. And then how do you do that? Do you use like a tape measure of any particular kind or a stick?
Some cruiser uses what they call a logger's tape, which has a diameter around it. Mine's a little wore out.
I use
calibers. I like the caliber because to me it's a lot faster than the logger's tape. Uh-huh. You got to reach around the tree. This, you just bump it up against it a couple of times on the same tree average your and get your diameter of the tree.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now you all have different kinds of equipment though. Use the calipers. What do you use?
Well,
how do you get into the woods in the first place? Know where you're going.
How do you know where you're going? Basically, you work on a grid system that follows compass lines, and we have our little silver cruiser's compass here. And in Florida, most of the time, we take an aerial photograph, and we lay out the boundaries of the tract of the land, and then we draw our cruise lines on it so that we know basically where they're supposed to go on the ground. Mm-hmm. And then we follow a bearing, usually north, south, or east and west, since most tracts of land in Florida have boundaries on the government survey system, which are basically oriented north and south or east and west.
Okay. So once you get in there, and now you assume you have found the proper stand to be looking at, you'll use calipers to measure, and what will you use?
Well, I'll also use for the diameters. I use the logger's tape because it's what we use. It's got the diameter tape on the back of the logger's tape. As far as the diameters, for the height, we use an instrument called a relloscope. It's a handy little instrument. It'll do everything in the world for you in the woods. But there's a major problem with these instruments, and that is that they cost about $700 for this one instrument. So it's not an instrument that everyone carries around with them. A lot of organizations, swear by these. The outfit that Mr. Buckles is with, Champion, they do their growth studies, their PGS studies. They live with these, but not all the foresters, even within that company, but that particular out their inventory people. But this is just what I use as far as determining height, determining merchantable cutoffs. There's a lot of series of bars in there. It'll account for slope. You can use it for an angle gauge, which is another type of prism, which is a type of cruising, variable plot radius cruising, as opposed to fixed radius plot cruising that Tom alluded to us. But you still set the plots up on a grid, but it's just a different method.
So once you figure out the, now would say if there's a stand of say 100 trees, would you measure 100 trees? What would you do? Why don't you try that?
Well, cruising basically is a statistical sampling process, and that we use rather sophisticated statistical sampling techniques at times, and we take a sample. We don't necessarily measure every tree. There are different ways of doing it. Some people like to use basically what's called a percentage cruise, and you might go out and measure 10% of the trees on any given tract of land, and establish plots at predetermined distances. The common plot size is 1/10 of an acre, and you put in one of those on every acre of the land, therefore you have a 10% cruise. But it is a statistical sampling process, and it can be relatively simple, or it can be extremely complicated, mm-hmm. based upon the equipment and the techniques that you're using.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I noticed that you're actually wearing certain kind. It's the specialized clothing for it. Like I noticed your vest, you've got tons of pockets. And what kinds of other things besides? Okay, you got the real scope in one pocket. You got that on your belt, but your compass in one pocket. What else? What else do you need?
Well, let's see what we've got here. This is kind of like the old Captain Kangaroo.
Right.
Remember
that? Yeah, right.
Diameter tapes.
Okay, this is diameter tapes, which you can use to measure the diameter of a tree, or you can measure the circumference on one side. But basically, the volume of a tree is based upon two things, and that is its height and its diameter at breast height, which is 4.5 feet above the ground. So the basic measurement is what we call DBH, diameter at breast height, mm-hmm. and also the height of the tree, which may be total height, or it may be what we call merchantable height. Okay, and what else? This is what I use to measure the heights with. It's called a clinometer, and it's basically a kind of an angle gauge. Use your logger's tape to measure off a certain distance from the tree. It may be 66.5 feet, or it may be 66 feet, or it may be 100 feet or 50 feet. But using trigonometry, basically, then you can determine the height of the tree directly by looking through this angle gauge at the height of the tree and at the ground, and read directly actually from the tree. What else we have? Now I commonly use a prism. This one's a little bit beat up, but this is an instrument, a wedge of glass that you can use to determine if a tree should be measured on any particular plot.
Is that a 10 factor?
This is a 10 factor with the corners chipped off, but I commonly use what's called a 10 factor prism. Flagging tape, which every forester or timber cruiser should have in his pocket. We may indicate the end of our cruise lines or our plot centers or whatever with flagging tape.
Of a wide variety of bright colors.
Preferably orange and blue. But
red and black in some areas. What about protective? Go ahead.
Yeah, well, in mine I've got sting swabs. Because wasps for some reason can find me, and I'm pretty allergic to them. I can get hit by a wasp on the arm and my face will swell up or something. But got all kind of sting swabs for yellow jackets and wasps and bees. This is some poison ivy lotion that because you run into that hazard also. I don't know. I carry all kind of crazy stuff in mine. I've got gum and an abundance of I quit chewing tobacco about 3 years ago, and the only good thing I could think about chewing tobacco was that when you're away from the truck and it's hot and you're thirsty, believe it or not, you don't get quite as thirsty. So I substituted gum. So I carry a lot of gum with mm-hmm. me. Even keep a pack of M&M peanuts in case you never know.
Well, you have to worry about things like heat prostration and all of that stuff,
exactly.
too, don't you? Do you ever carry like canteens in the woods or anything?
Have. Yeah. Depends on where you are.
You don't?
It depends on how long you're going to be gone from your vehicle.
How long does a cruise take? What are the average times?
Well, this time of year, you usually cruise until you're either smart enough to quit or drop. And hopefully, if you live in the business long, you normally work until early afternoon and then stop.
Okay. And when you're working, you and also notice when you're in the woods, you use bright colors of all kinds. But perhaps you could explain your leggings to us there. I've never seen those before.
Well, there's all kinds of snake leggings and protective devices used to protect against snake bites. The one thing that I'm always asked about is, well, aren't you afraid of snakes? And my answer is no. I very seldom give snakes any thought for two reasons. One of them is that I normally have a pair of snake leggings on, and this kind happens to be a plastic with a zipper in the back. I like these because they don't cover the top part of your leg, and thus they're not so hot in the summer. The disadvantage is you get lots of trash and brush down on top of them, so every once in a while you've got to clean them out.
Got to empty your legs out.
But snakes to me are something I just don't worry about. The things that Don mentioned that I really fear in the woods are basically the little black and yellow things that sting. I'll face 1,000 rattlesnakes before I'll face one nest of yellow jackets. I mean,
really?
that's terror to me.
And you're the other way around.
I don't care for the snakes. Never have, never will. Something else that's come in the forefront just recently, and I don't know their experience, but ticks. For two reasons. It used to be Rocky Mountain spotted fever, and now there's a new disease called Lyme disease that's come in the forefront, and it's something that we're all conscious of.
Has that affected anybody that you've worked with?
I don't know of anyone that's had
Lyme disease.
You're gonna get ticks on you if you go in the woods.
I think it makes us all a little bit more careful about checking for ticks. And ticks in Florida are just—they're as common as mosquitoes. It's a little story about. I was cruising right on the Suwannee River here, just down the road on Highway 6. In the middle of the summer, and the track actually abutted the Suwannee River. And every morning I would spray up with repellent, but the ticks were so bad that every afternoon when I finished, I would go sit in the middle of the Suwannee River with a bar of soap, stripped down to my undershorts, and sit and wash and pick ticks for about a half an hour in the middle of the river day after finishing, because I think it's a combination of factor of deer and other wildlife in the woods, which are more common than they were at one time, and the fact that we don't burn the woods very often anymore, mm-hmm. and thus the populations of ticks build up.
Anybody over your way?
Lyme disease.
Huh?
Oh, yeah?
No. I've got just some other things here. I noticed, Tom, you're the first one I've seen carrying, actually using a stick to do your measurements. Is that the stick that's behind you?
That just marks your plot radius.
I think everybody that cruises carries some sort of stick or staff or whatever. First of all, it's just an aid in getting through the woods and beating down brushes and snakes or whatever. And the other thing is when you decide where you're going to take your plot, you have to mark the center. And so you take your staff and you stick it in the ground, and that becomes the center of your plot. So it's a pretty necessary piece of equipment.
Yeah. Do you always keep it brightly tagged like that, just like you're brightly tagged yourselves in orange?
Well, it's very easy to lose it in the woods if it's not brightly tagged.
Yeah. Have you ever been shot at?
No, I haven't. I have had a couple of guys in our firm that have had a couple of close calls. I'm always kind of leery about wearing these things in deer season. You know, there's two ways to look at it. One is it makes you more easily seen, and the other is it makes you a better target. So I try to avoid certain tracks at certain times of the year, to tell you the truth.
Yeah,
but
really?
No, I've never been shot at.
Huh. Is there a major cruising season?
Well, no, there's not a major. I'm talking about hunting season.
Cooler months. Yeah, I know
cooler
that.
Months.
I know
in
that.
The cooler months.
It's much better to cruise in the winter.
In
the
winter time.
Okay. Yeah, there's not that much going on. Now, when you get all that information recorded, you get all that information in your head, and you know how high it is, and you know what's merchantable and what's not, how do you record all that information? That's kind of a lot to me, at least, to carry around in my head and then dump out onto paper when I'm back at an office or something. What do you do? I've noticed you got a notebook, and do you use like...
Go ahead, I'll talk about
record books
if you'll talk about tally boards.
I use a tally card. And I write down if it's pine pup wood or pine chipping saw or hardwood pup wood or pine logs, pine veneer, whatever. And as I cruise at each plot, if it's a pine log, I mark it as a pine log, or a pine pup wood tree, I mark it as a pine pup wood. Whether it's an 8-inch, I cruise in 2-inch diameter for class. If it's an 830 or 840 put wood tree, or a 1050 chipping saw tree, or a 14-1, 1.5 log, or whatever, and then when I get back to the office, I sit down and I do all my figuring.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about computers? Have computers entered into this profession?
Very much.
We don't use a computer.
You don't. What about you, Don?
Well, I was going to let Arthur and Tom talk about the tally sheets, but I'll go ahead. We have moved into modern technology in forestry because one of the newest tools, and I should have brought, I guess, one of them from the college with me, but I didn't. Some outfits have gone into what they call PDCs or PDTs, which are portable data terminals, portable data collectors. Folks in the audience have probably seen in 7-Elevens or Winn-Dixie's, Publix, when the managers or the produce people or whatever run up and down the aisles and they're punching these little calculator-looking boxes. Most of the models look very much like that, or the ones that I'm familiar with. They make difference. They have ones that come around your neck. You actually instead of tallying with a pencil and paper, you enter this same data that you would write down or put what you call it a dot dash tally. You actually enter this data into a portable data terminal. Then what happens, you can take this and couple it into a PC or a mainframe, and it'll do your calculations for you with the right program just that quick. So we're definitely into them.
So you use that, and then you have the tally sheet that you've got, Tom? Your tally sheets there?
Yes. That's the most widely used system still.
Okay.
We have a computer that we process all of our cruises in, but mm-hmm. we record our data in the field still on tally sheets. Mm-hmm. And since basically you're recording diameters versus height, we have a system of blocks with the diameters down the side and the heights across the top. And then we use a dot. When we record a tree that's 6 inches in diameter and in this case 2 logs in height, we put a dot on the sheet, and then you wind up with, you record in squares of 4 dots, and then you draw lines around them for the next 4 trees, and then for the next 2 trees, for a total of 10, you wind up with a little box with a cross across it, and that shows you've recorded 10 trees of that diameter and height. Mm-hmm. So it's a concise form of recording the data. And then what we do is we punch this in on a keyboard into the computer, and the computer processes our volumes and values as far as the products go.
Huh. Do you find that over the years, as you've been developing your skills and using your skills, do you find yourself relying less upon your instruments to take measurements, or do you still use them constantly, or do you use your eye more?
Well, I think most timber cruisers, including me, begin to use their eye more as you progress and become more proficient with it. What we're trying to do more and more is to refine our sampling technique so that we take a few measurements that we rely upon and do less and less actually of the ocular estimates, but. Mm-hmm. But what you have to do to keep your time within limits is to take a very small sample then, but to do very precise measurements.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do we have any questions out in the audience? Any questions? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, the prism Let's see. I've got a couple in my pocket here I brought just in case someone wanted to see one. The prism is a it's a little rectangular piece of glass, thinner on one end than on the other. And when you look at a tree holding this in front of your eye, the tree is offset. And if the image overlaps, then that's a tree that you should tally. And you're holding this over your plot center all the while. So this actually makes the decision, or you read this and make the decision on whether or not to tally that tree. What this does is, the larger the tree, the more chance it has of being within the plot. So you weight your sample towards your more valuable trees, your larger trees. If there was a 12-inch tree standing where you are and a 4-inch tree standing where you are, this would indicate that the 12-inch tree should be tallied, but the 4-inch tree shouldn't be tallied. So it's a weighted sampling technique.
So you stand at the center and just turn around?
Basically, right. Turn around. Now, you may have to go out and make some measurements on an individual tree, but basically, yes, you make all your determinations of whether or not a tree should be tallied from the plot center.
In the back.
Doesn't the distance from the center have a lot to do with that then?
Well, the distance the tree is located from the center does, yes.
Yeah.
But a larger tree has a greater radius that it would be tallied than a smaller tree.
Got two basic, there's more than that, but two basic methods that we're talking about of tallying trees or cruising. One is called a fixed radius cruise or fixed radius plot. And that's where your plot center, usually designated with our... By the way, these are sacred. Everybody has one, and they have their own species, and mine's cypress, and
mine aren't sacred. I cut whatever I can.
Mine's broom handle.
And everybody I call it a wampum stick, and that's consequently what most of our students call them. But everybody just about that cruises timber has some method of a Jacob staff or whatever. But in a fixed radius cruise situation, from your plot center, like on a 10th acre circular plot that we've been talking about, 37.2 feet. Anything within a radius of 37.2 feet that within what you're tallying, like Arthur talked about, pine pulpwood or whatever, you know, it depends on what you're cruising for, but you tally anything that's within that radius. With the prism or the rotoscope does the same thing. You're using VPR, which is variable plot radius, and that depends on how far the tree is or is not from that point. Mm-hmm. It's not a fixed radius. Like you were saying, a tree could be way out there and still be a what we call a count tree, but
if it has a large diameter.
On your rotoscope, do you have to measure? I've never used it.
You can stand at the plot center and you can tell whether it's in. You can use it as an angle gauge, but
never measure.
When you want to use it as a clinometer, you have to be 66 feet from the tree, or 100, or 50, whichever scale you're using.
Any other questions? Hey.
Sometimes you must have trouble getting 66 feet from the tree and still see.
Yeah, that can be a real problem. Visibility can be a real problem. Then you have to
go
basically cut a line or do... make some adjustments or whatever to just.
You can go like sometimes you can. It depends on the height of the trees too. You can go like half the distance. Tom said most of these instruments, clinometers, are based on a tangent function of trig. If you're familiar with that, it just reads direct to you from a horizontal line from your eye up to the top, and from a horizontal line with your eye down to the base. Well, let's face it, at least, especially in Florida, with the understory brush we've got, the palmetto gallberry species in our flatwoods, you can't, 95% of the time, you can't see the base of the tree. And so we're fortunate that Florida's relatively flat in that respect. So we just say, okay, it's about 5 feet from the ground to my... So we can shoot to the either, as I used to say, tippy top of the tree, the terminal bud, or to some merchantable cutoff, and then add 5 feet to it. But... specifically, just to answer your question, in many cases, if the height's not that critical, you can get where the angle is so critical that you can't, but you can go half the predetermined distance. I mentioned 66 feet. You can go 33 feet, read your height, and then take half of that, and that'll give you the height of the tree. And then you got to add your 5 for the base, because it's reading from a horizontal line from your eye.
It seems to me, the one thing I've been wondering, it's sort of subjective measurement, because also wouldn't some of this have to depend on how tall you are?
Well, most of us are within the 5 to 7 feet. So a foot's not a critical distance in measuring
trees. Okay, so basically, say I'm 5'4", I go out and get the same measurements as you would.
Basically, yeah. Yes.
I'm not of merchantable
height. Our instruments are not quite that precise, at least that we use in cruising. Now, for other measuring techniques where someone was doing very critical measurements, they might use something very precise. But for cruising, a foot or two is not a critical distance.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? If not, this afternoon and today as well, at 11:15 and at 1:45, people who would like to learn more about how cruising is actually done can go out with one or all three of these gentlemen and actually get more confused how to do it. Just, if anybody is interested, just meet over there at the under the workshop sign, and just you'll be able to go out and find whatever you think is most easiest to measure and most easiest to understand. And thank you very much. I appreciate your spending your time with us this weekend. And what we'll do is we'll be back with about 7 people to talk about how now you know what trees to cut. Now we're going to go cut the trees. Thank you very much.